Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Western Focus Podcast. I'm your host, Steven Meister, and with me today will be my co-host, Cobalt. He is back, but again, unfortunately, it's in a slightly different capacity, so I had a busy weekend, and with the LCS playoffs getting started this week on Thursday, that's right, Thursday will be the first best of five for the LCS spring playoffs. I had too many games to end up watching this week. It would have been like 20 plus games if I watched both the LCS and the LEC to be able to give good content and discussion. And I was busy this weekend, so there was no way I was going to be able to fit what I had to do in my personal life as well as be able to watch all of these games for the podcast. So what we're going to end up doing for this episode is that you will just be hearing me in this first part of it talking about the LCS, a brief look back at the regular season, and then previewing the playoff matches as well. And then after this, you will be hearing just Cobalt discussing this week's LEC matches. So we won't be having any sort of back and forth dialogue. We're recording these things separately. They will be put together for one normal length episode here in this single podcast episode. But again, there won't be any of our normal discussion back and forth talking about both leagues. I will be covering the LCS, and then Cobalt will be doing the LEC. So without further delay, I will be getting into the LCS portion of this show. It was a relatively surprising, I would say, LCS, especially for going back to our preview episodes for the LCS and the LEC. We definitely expected the LCS to be a bit more clear-cut and straightforward for spring, whereas the LEC winter, we thought there definitely was a lot of room for contention and a lot of potential for some shuffling, albeit we did expect G2 to win it all, and they did. So for the LCS, we had two teams actually tie for first place, and it's not the two teams you probably would have been expecting at the preseason. FlyQuest and 100 Thieves ended up tying at 10-4. FlyQuest did own the head-to-head over 100 Thieves 2-0, so they ended up taking first place in sole possession without a tiebreaker game, 100 Thieves in second. Cloud9 in sole possession of third with an only 8-6 record. That's really surprising for them considering the expectations. TL in sole possession of fourth at 7-7. And then Dignitas and NRG ended up tying for fifth place, both with a 6-8 record, but Dignitas did end up beating NRG in the tiebreaker to take the fifth place spot, sixth place going to NRG, that last spot in the playoffs. Shopify Rebellion just missing out at 5-9, and then Immortals in eighth with a 4-10 record. Overall, the biggest things that stand out to me when I look at this is obviously 100 Thieves being able to tie for first place against FlyQuest. Their performances, we've likened it a lot to Mad Lions over in Europe, and it's been a very strong showing. They're going to have a tough matchup, I think, in that first round going up against Cloud9 that I'll get to in the back half of this discussion, but a very impressive year for 100 Thieves in this spring split to get started with. I think that the team play definitely still has more rough spots. I think maybe even a little bit more so than someone like Mad Lions. I think Mad Lions, especially in the playoffs, looked to be able to play the map really well. 100 Thieves is still like really aggressive, and they do get caught out a fair bit of the time. But not to say that they obviously, you know, end up having detriment themselves too much. They're obviously 10-4, second place in the league, a very strong start for them. We'll see if they can keep it going into the playoffs. Again, against C9, tough matchup. C9 actually did 2-0 them in the head-to-head over the course of the regular season. So, again, should be a tough matchup for them. Dignitas in fifth, as well as NRG in sixth, that tie in general was pretty surprising to me. Giving NRG a little bit of the benefit of the doubt going into the season, I finally gave them my faith, and they rewarded it with going sixth. And then Dignitas was the biggest surprise, I would say, probably. Maybe I'd give it to 100 Thieves, but 100 Thieves and Dignitas are definitely the two biggest surprises for me, because Dignitas I had finishing in last. I did not like the roster at all. I even put Immortals ahead of them. I knew it would have been those two teams at the bottom going into the season, but Dignitas going up there in fifth, taking the tiebreaker over NRG, a huge boost for the roster. I'm still not a huge fan of some of the individual players, but obviously it's worked out relatively well. I think Dove has been a really nice surprise. And obviously, you know, it's been a solid season for them, still finishing under 500, albeit at 6-8, not a 500 record. But with this 8-team league and 6 teams making it through, you had a pretty good shot of making the playoffs. So congrats today. They did defy the expectations a bit. And albeit, again, in the lower bracket for them, they will be starting out in, they do have the slightly easier matchup. They'll be playing the loser of the 1-4 matchup, which is FlyQuest versus Team Liquid, whereas NRG in 6th will have, again, technically the harder matchup, the loser of the 2-3 of 100 Thieves versus Cloud9. And before we jump into talking about the playoff predictions, I want to get rid of a couple of things. I do want to talk about really quickly Shopify and IMT, both teams being eliminated from the playoffs. We'll start with Shopify Rebellion, who finished the season in 7th. I pegged them to make the postseason. I forget exactly where. I believe it was 6th. Maybe it was 5th, but definitely was either one of those two spots, with them and 100 Thieves being the other team I had down there in 5th and 6th. And I'm a little bit surprised, obviously, that they missed out. It was a close race. But at the end of the day, they really had too many problems. I don't think Fate God has really done too much to prove himself up in the top lane still, despite there being a little bit more optimism around him coming up from the NACL last year, winning the league, I believe in both splits, first in the spring with C9 and then with DSG in summer. And then you look at the bot lane with B-Voy and Zazel. B-Voy's a guy who's been around for a long time. Zazel's been around for a while as well. He played with Fate God in the NACL last year. And when it came down to it, I do think that Fate God was a relatively big letdown. He did have a pop-off game in this Super Week, which was a good moment for him, but I haven't been too impressed with him. I haven't been too impressed with Boogie either. But I do like, especially recently, the mid lane play from Insanity. I think he's had a couple of really good Huey games. I believe that was the last week in the normal 2-game week. He had 2 games of Huey, where the first one he was just legitimately just really, really good and finding a great combos and dealing a ton of damage. The second game, he was in a similar spot, but he ended up blowing it a little bit more. He got caught for all of his deaths, and they were in bad spots, you know, getting caught out by flanks and just not being in quite the right position. And unfortunately for Shopify Rebellion in both of those games, he really was kind of the main carry threat in both of those games. So it was a real letdown to see him have back-to-back super great performances on a champion like Huey, who's obviously a very new champion, has a lot of fun abilities, and his kit is very interesting and complex, you know, with all the different options you can use. And he was playing it really, really well, so it was a shame that he ended up did kind of blowing that second game for them, and maybe even a spot in playoffs, right? If they won that game and everything else stayed the same, they would have been tied with Dignitas and NRG at that 6-8 spot and could have forced at least their way into a tiebreaker scenario. But I have been impressed with Insanity as of late, and I did like him. You know, I think he is a nice NA mid laner. He's not going to be some sort of superstar player, I don't think, ever. But being on a team like Shopify, you know, fighting for these kind of last couple fringe playoff spots, I think he's a great fit for a team like that. And I'm really hoping that he can continue this level of play going into summer. It's just such a shame that there's going to be such a long break for him and the rest of Shopify going into there. We'll, of course, see if there's any sort of roster changes before the summer split starts for them. But I'm really hoping they keep Insanity around, because I think especially in these last couple of weeks with those Huey games, and then he had a pretty good week this week as well, I do hope that he sticks around. He's definitely one of those pieces I'd like to stay. Zazel as well. I think Zazel, he's not always super flashy, but he's a pretty solid support. I've talked about it before. I was kind of surprised when he ended up falling out of the LCS. I don't think it was really super deserved of him, but good to see him back. He was a fine player down there with B-Voy, who, again, I do think in the last couple of weeks has had some really good team fighting. I remember a couple of games. There was one on Lucian. Maybe they were both on Lucian. But he had some really good team fighting, some nice mechanics in them, seemed to really kind of manage the situations really well. But in one of those games where Insanity was on Huey and he was that main carry threat that game, B-Voy just didn't quite have enough damage in a couple of those team fights, where it wasn't like he was super far behind or anything, but with Insanity getting caught out a couple of those times, B-Voy was under enough pressure that he kind of, you know, really had to navigate those fights. And I think he did navigate them pretty well or properly, but he just wasn't able to get enough damage out there to kind of salvage that situation from Insanity being caught out. So I am optimistic for a Shopify Rebellion going into the future. 5 wins for them on the season. 2 of them are over NRG, and then 1 over FlyQuest, 1 over Cloud9. So if you're going into the preseason especially, those are 5 very impressive wins. Still taking 1 over FlyQuest and 1 over C9 is nice. The other win for the 5th one was against IMT. If there were changes to make on this team, it probably would be top and jungle for me. But hopefully with the core of Insanity and B-Boy again kind of fighting for these fringe playoff spots, they should be competent enough players to kind of navigate that, and then we'll see how seriously they end up taking this roster going into, I'd say, just next year, looking forward to 2025. You know, you'll see what you got more out of B-Boy, out of Insanity, and we'll see what kind of an organization Shopify Rebellion is. I don't really know too much about them. I know they're in a couple of other games, I'm pretty sure. But seeing them come in the league, obviously at the start, it's a relatively budget roster. So we'll see if they're a team that can kind of shell out a little bit of money, or at least go after some high-profile players as salaries do kind of come down. I'm never going to really expect them to be competing at the top, because I think even FlyQuest, who's been in the league for a while now, they've had, you know, some decent iterations here and there, and this one's obviously very impressive. They're showing that they're going to be a relatively big spending team, hopefully. I don't know if SR will ever get to that kind of a level, you know, with like a C9 or a TL, stuff like that. That just doesn't quite seem like the kind of org that they are. But hopefully for those fringe playoff places, Insanity, B-Boy, Zazel seems like a decent core, and then you can kind of see what you want to do around there. And you can obviously upgrade those positions as well, but you don't need to change those guys in the immediate future if you're just trying to, you know, finish 4th, 5th, 6th, maybe you can get out of the first round, and then you'll probably get knocked out of the loser's bracket at some point. Whereas with Immortals, they had a very interesting season, because they had 4 wins on the year, which is probably a fair amount for them and their team as a whole. But 2 of their wins, half of their wins, were against Cloud9. They 2-0'd them on the regular season, which is not very awe-inspiring if you're a C9 fan, but for Immortals, I mean, it says something, right? You're capable of hanging with a top team like them. Their other win was versus NRG, or their third win, I guess, would be versus NRG. Their other one wasn't like a notable win. So they have that capability, and especially on the broadcast, I remember hearing that some of the casters would say, like, man, these guys are just like scrim gods, you know, we're hearing this from the players and staffs of some of these teams, that Immortals is just killing people in scrims, but it's not translating to the stage. And that always sucks, I think, because obviously the story of the scrim god teams are just kind of memes at this point, but you really do kind of wonder what those teams could become if whatever sort of hurdle it is that was preventing their play from translating from scrims to stage was removed, right? Whether it's maybe it's nerves on some of the players, maybe communication gets a bit harder, maybe if they get behind more on stage they panic and shut down, you know, maybe it's just the scrim environment, you know, generally being more looser than a stage environment. Maybe that kind of play just doesn't happen on the stage, and that's where Immortals thrives a bit more, right? Like, who knows? But it's always kind of sad to hear that wasted potential of a scrim god team not be able to pan out on the main stage, because it'd be fun if a team like Immortals was able to kind of shoot up the standings and figure it out, because if they really are having successful scrims, they're obviously doing something right at some point, but there's obviously a lot of variables that change from going to scrims to stage. Looking at the team as a whole, I still do like Tactical. I think he definitely did have some bad moments in the recent weeks as well, but I think some of those instances, like I think it was a Smolder game especially, Armeo just did him no favors on the jungle pathing and trying to cover for him. He got completely destroyed in the lane in that one game. He ended up coming back for a decent mid game in that effort, and that's why it's like, hey, like, you know, despite being down like a ton of CS and super far behind the pace on Smolder stacking, his mid game was exceptional. He got to the 225 stacks for his Q at a reasonable time in comparison, especially to all the pressure he was under in that early game. They didn't win that game, but it was a great comeback effort from him to still become a useful champion in that game. And I do think, again, kind of similar to Insanity and B-Boy, for a team that's at this point clearly just fighting for the playoff spots, that 5th, 6th spot, he's a fine enough player for that. You can upgrade it at some point, sure, but for right now, I like Tactical still there. He's not great in the grand scheme of things, but overall, for a team like Immortals, he's fine. Everywhere else, in my opinion, you can probably upgrade. Ole did have some good games, especially a couple of Bard games he had were very standout. There was one against Cloud9 in particular that was very good. And then when it comes down to Castle, Armeo, and Mask, not really moved by either of them, or any of those guys, rather. I was expecting that going into the season. Armeo is just this kind of average jungler, and, you know, obviously more times than not, he's going to be a little bit below average. I think that's pretty fair assessment of him for this season. Castle had a couple of good moments here and there, but overall not too impressive. I think the same thing goes with Mask, a couple of moments here and there, but realistically speaking, everyone's going to have a couple of good moments here and there. I don't think the level of play was anything particularly impressive from either of those guys, especially as import players. That's the real kind of nail in the coffin for them as import level players. They definitely didn't live up to that tag, so we'll see what Immortals does. I'm probably not going to be expecting any big changes for them, just because I don't think they're a team that thinks they'll obviously be making Worlds. Maybe they can sneak into the playoffs if this roster duration does improve, but at the very least, I wouldn't expect anything top or mid changing just because of the imports being in those positions. And again, I wouldn't really bother changing Tactical. I think he's fine to keep around for summer. So maybe if they wanted to change something somewhere, you can find a better jungler. Again, don't look at me to say who that is. There's going to be a lot of better jungle options out there than Armeo, but will any of them want to come play for Immortals is probably the bigger question than, would they want to replace Armeo or anyone else on that team for that matter. So not surprised they missed playoffs at all. Eighth place, I had them finishing in seventh. I hated Dig a little bit more than I hated Immortals, but they ended up finishing last. So those are your two teams that got knocked out of the LCS playoffs. And then I want to highlight a couple of the games from this Super Week before we dive into the playoff predictions. So a few of the games to take a look at. Friday's game of Team Liquid versus FlyQuest was a very interesting game. Fly had a decent lead in the early and mid game, but there's a couple of really just two hard-forced engages by FlyQuest for really no reason. Inspired specifically at a Dragon play at their first soul point Dragon attempt. Inspired just forced engaged way too hard on Yan, and he ended up having the 225 stacks on Smolder at that point in the game. APA was on Aurelion Soul, and they were able to really just kind of bully the FlyQuest in that little corridor between mid lane on the blue side, I'm pretty sure that is, the bot side team going into the river. They really kind of bullied them in that choke point. It was a great, obviously, area for Smolder to fight with the Q and the W and the R. Perfect for a little corridor like that, plus the Aurelion Soul being able to lay down his E and his Dragon Breath as well. Yan got a double kill off of that. And then not too long after that, Teal got the Dragon as well, obviously, so no soul point for FlyQuest. And then a bit later on into the game, FlyQuest were just getting picked off one by one around the map. Whippo ended up getting caught bot lane. Then TL was able to rally around top lane where Jensen was pushing, and they got Jensen top lane. They kind of were able to move in behind Masu during the chase down, who overstayed for some reason, I guess, to try to just shove out the top lane wave. He ended up getting caught and dying to them. And then right after that, Inspired was probably just going up to try to help him, but realized, oh, okay, he's dead. And then he's running down the river, and TL are able to catch up to him and chase him down the river. So over the course of all of that, I think Bwipo, by that final kill on Inspired, was respawned, but it was 4-0 for Team Liquid, going from the bot lane to the top lane, and they're able to take Baron off of that. They won a team fight in the bot lane. Yan got a triple kill. And then the final fight of the game was absolutely hilarious to me with APA on Aurelion Soul. He was just flying directly at FlyQuest with the Dragon's Breath, his Q and his E, and just, you know, doing a really good job of, you know, managing, not getting hit by CC or abilities, and knowing like when to stop the flight and just, you know, be able to just normally walk, right-click forward, and use his Q. Very well done. It was very, very funny seeing them basically go from the middle of top lane all the way to FlyQuest's top inhibitor, and APA is just breathing fire and just flying at them, and it's so funny to me. And you get a glimpse of the player cam afterwards, and APA's having a laugh at it too as they get the ace, and they end up winning through top lane after that. So that was a funny win for Team Liquid. They definitely, I do believe, had the better scaling composition, and they ended up finding a too hard forced team fight from FlyQuest. It's not like FlyQuest had a huge gold lead. It was a couple thousand at that point. It was like 20 something minutes into the game, early-ish 20 minutes into the game. So just not a great decision from Inspired, who's generally been a pretty consistently good jungler throughout this year, obviously being on the best team in the league. A little lapse in judgment right there, and unfortunately for FlyQuest, it was really just snowballed too hard at that point. Smolder got a lot of stacks. Aurelion Sol was being very annoying too, as I was talking about, and he had some good stacks stacked up from his, I forget if that's his passive or if it's his E that counts the stacks, but he was fed as well. And again, that final team fight with APA on A Sol is just hilarious. So a good win for Team Liquid. And definitely some momentum for them getting a nice win against the top team in the league, albeit it was on Friday, the first day of Super Week. Then also on Friday, there was Shopify Rebellion versus NRG. That was a very strong game from Shopify, one of their five wins on the year, as I mentioned before. Dokla really got destroyed in the early game. He was 0-3 at 14 minutes. The entire top side for Shopify Rebellion was dominating very early. Dokla was able to get back into the game a little bit, playing Aatrox, but he ended up going full tank, and I guess that was probably just because he was getting shafted so hard so early on. He ended up having like Kanik Rookern and Frozen Heart, and maybe it was Thorn Mail or something else, I forget exactly. But he didn't have a single bruiser item, which was really weird when I took a look at the items for all the champions that game. I was very surprised to see that, but again, probably just because he got destroyed so hard. This was the one game that I think Fake God definitely did pop off on, and it was kind of obvious. He really helped Shopify Rebellion secure one of those final team fights around the Baron pit. He really was just a huge force there and super tanky, and he's drain tanking everyone with the Renekton that he was playing in that game. He went 8-0-7 in that game. Insanity was 6-3-7. Palafox ended up finishing 1-6-8 for NRG. So not a strong game for them. It was a very nice win for Shopify. And then these last two games are going to be both C9 games, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. The Saturday one was versus Immortals, where C9 just got completely stomped by them. That was just a super weird game. I hated C9's draft from the moment I saw it, and I realized that they were going to run Ornn support as a former Ornn main, but still an Ornn player myself. You just don't run him support, like, because the whole point of Ornn is to be able to hit level 14 and upgrade your teammates' items, and you're not going to hit level 14, you know, very quickly at the very least as a support, if not ever, depending on how long the game goes. So you're really just not getting to use your passive at all, and you got to be level 13 even for your item to upgrade. And again, like some games as support, you're just not going to be able to hit even level 11 or 12, let alone 13, depending on how quick they go, especially in pro play, you know. And in solo queue, it's one thing, but in pro play, the supports really do fall behind in XP, obviously. So I hated the draft with the Ornn pick. Berserker on Senna is just not something I ever want to see again. Luckily, they are nerfing ADC Senna. On the upcoming patch, I believe is it 15.6 or is it 14.6? I'm pretty sure it's 15.6. I forget what season we're in, but I'm pretty sure it's 15.6. So we won't have to see, hopefully, anyone play Senna ADC anymore, let alone Berserker on it. And I was thinking that when I saw them pick in, like, man, like, this is not a Berserker champion. Like, he's the exact definition of like a hands diff player, where his mechanics are super good, especially, you know, him compared to some of the NALCS AD carries and a tactical especially. He should be able to just be allowed to completely destroy tactical and Immortals with his hands. But they put him on Senna, and obviously this game, at least it was fasting Senna. But either way, Berserker is not a Senna player in the slightest. I don't remember the exact amount of souls that he had at the end of the game, but it was a shockingly low amount of souls for fasting Senna, and it was just god-awful. The Ornn support wasn't useful, again, just obviously not being able to utilize the passive with the item upgrades, but just in general, like, Vulcan really was just not able to do anything because C9 just got stomped so hard. And it's not even like I think that even if C9 were ahead, or even like, I just don't think Ornn supports the way to go about it. You know, I don't think that's a real like Senna pairing for that combo. You know, there's some fun ones. Like there's obviously Senna Tom. I think it was NRG played Senna Wukong. That's at least a little bit better. I think Senna Wukong is at least kind of fun. There's a ton more you can go. I think I've even seen like Senna Cho'Gath. You know, maybe that wasn't in pro play or in the LCS, but I feel like I remember seeing Senna Cho'Gath even at one point. Like that seems kind of fun too. But Ornn is just not it, at the very least because of the passive, and then I think obviously with how the game was going in general, once they fell behind, and especially Berserker, C9 just had no chance in that game. They got thoroughly stomped. And then the Sunday game for C9 versus Shopify Rebellion, this was a game that was just completely embarrassing to watch. I'd say almost even more so than the Immortals game. Just because of how ridiculously stupid like the final like 15 to 20 minutes were of that game, basically the back half of that game. There is so much I could say about this game that I'm not going to, just for the sake of time and brevity. If you really want to like get a full understanding of this game, watch the highlights of it. Like usually on YouTube, like Epic Skillshot will upload highlights, or maybe the LCS has a page where they upload highlights sometimes, or at the very least just go to the VOD of it and watch the last like 15-ish minutes on YouTube. It was an absolute clown show. Neither team really wanted to win. Eventually though, some team did have to, and it was C9. Shopify Rebellion just took the Elder Dragon, and they ended up pushing down mid lane with it. But as it was expiring was when they really kind of had like their best opportunity to utilize it. And they didn't end up utilizing it as it was expiring. They had a wave coming into C9's base with an open inhibitor going onto the Nexus Towers, where they could have and probably should have just forced the dive at that point. At that point, it was like 40 plus minutes into the game, maybe even 45 plus minutes into the game. I'm pretty sure the game was like a 51 minute game. So it had to have been, you know, like around that 50 minute mark. This was the final fight of the game where, again, Shopify should have dove when they had a full wave with a guaranteed full fight's worth of Elder buff on them, but they didn't. C9 cleared the wave. Shopify were too hesitant to force it, and they probably thought what some of us are thinking, like, oh, well, it looks like they'll still have one more wave coming in to make a final ditch effort at it. But by the time the wave got in there, there was only really 3 seconds-ish left on the Elder Dragon. So by the time that they did force some damage on and try to force and engage, the Elder buff was gone, and then leave it to JoJo, who really is just like single-handedly putting C9 on his back, which is what I was not expecting going into this season, but kudos to him for doing it. In this game especially, he had a ton of nice Nico ultimates, as he's had throughout the course of this season, but JoJo found a very nice 3-man Nico ultimate onto Boogie, Insanity, and Zazel. I believe it was Insanity died very quickly, or maybe it was Zazel who died instantly, and then Boogie and the other person of those two ended up dying pretty shortly after that initial ultimate, and then the follow-up from C9. And then it was also kind of unfortunate because B-Boy ended up getting a little bit separated, and not only that, but he also Zhonya's like really nothing. I don't know if he thought JoJo was going to die for him, or maybe there was something in the play that I missed and I didn't really see an angle of where he thought he could come under threat from something. But from my best guess, I would assume he thought that JoJo was going to try to go onto him a little bit more, and he ended up Zhonya's-ing literally nothing. So not only was he separated from the team in that fight, he didn't deal any damage for counting the time he was separated and then in Zhonya's and then trying to run back into it, probably like 4 or 5 seconds. So obviously at that point then, with those three people on Shopify getting instantly deleted and then B-Boy not being there, C9 were able to find the game-winning push off of that. They were able to run it down, and they were able to win off of that. So a disappointing result for Shopify, and again, that game just overall was a mess. If you really want to get the full picture of it, again, look it up on YouTube. Either look at the highlights or just go to the VOD of the game. Watch those final 15 to 20 minutes. It was a complete mess, but at the end of the day, at least for me as a C9 fan, they were able to pull it off and secure third place in the standings with that win. So it was a disappointing game for Shopify. B-Boy and Insanity were pretty fed that game, but in some of those late game fights with B-Voy, he was playing Kai'Sa. There really were not a lot of angles for him to look at to get in and reliably auto-attack and be kind of safe in those fights. He ended up transitioning to a more AP-based build by the end of it than relying on the Ws from Kai'Sa to deal a lot of damage, but by that point it was too little too late, and again, that last fight was a bit unfortunate, being able to be put out of position like that, plus the Zhonya's on top of it. He really didn't get to do anything there. So now with the recapping of the regular season out of the way, I will be giving the predictions for the four playoff series that we have coming up. Again, the first round starts on Thursday, and that first matchup will be 100 Thieves versus Cloud9. I am going to give Cloud9 this series. I'm going to give it to them 3-1. The main motivation being that C9 were able to 2-0 them in the best of ones in the regular season, so I feel pretty comfortable predicting them to win in the best of five as well. Even though their form is definitely very shaky right now, and 100 Thieves overall, I would say, probably does look like the better team, at the very least the more consistent team, I would say. I'm going to kind of lean on the head-to-head. I'm also going to lean on the experience of Cloud9 to be able to kind of guide them through, at the very least, this initial matchup. We'll see who they face after this, assuming again that they win. But this will be a really big moment for a lot of these 100 Thieves players coming into a big best of five, your first one on the LCS stage in the playoffs. Obviously, Sniper being a rookie, Quid being in only his really second year, and then Meech being in his rookie year. Ayla's been around for a little bit, but pretty much a similar amount of time as Quid has been, a little bit longer than him. It's going to be a big moment for a lot of those guys. It really will be on River to kind of be that presence as I assume he has been throughout this season and helping guide them through a big playoff series like this. Obviously, the coaching staff, I'm sure, will be in a good position to help. Obviously, someone like Golden Glue's been here, done that. So it should be, you know, a fairly competitive series, I would say. That's why I am giving 100 Thieves a game. And especially if we do see a very much Mad Lion style run from them, they can beat C9 definitely. And, you know, at the end of the day, at that point, I probably would still predict them to fall short going into some of those later playoff series against a team like FlyQuest, who also did end up 2-0-ing 100 Thieves as well. So that was all four of 100 Thieves' losses was 2 to FlyQuest and 2 to C9. But like I said, for now, I got to give it to C9. I'm going to bank on the experience. I'm going to bank on the head-to-head. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, again, 100 Thieves' form does just seem to be a little bit more steady, a little bit more consistent. Cloud9, they had the highs of destroying FlyQuest in that one game, but they're 0-2 against Immortals, and they should really be 0-2 against Shopify, but they're able to sneak out that win on Sunday, so 3-1 just because of the head-to-head, because of the experience, but this should be a fun and competitive series overall. Now on Friday, we will have the 1 seed versus the 4 seed, FlyQuest versus Team Liquid. I have this one going as a 3-1 as well. I'm going to give it to FlyQuest. If FlyQuest were able to beat TL on Friday, I probably would have just made this a 3-0 for them, but with TL being able to sneak out a kind of win like that with a pretty well-scaling comp, I'm going to give them a game at the end of the day. It's not going to really change the outcome of how I think their playoffs will actually go, but Fly just should really be the better team overall. I do think when you do look at Team Liquid, the prospects of having like Impact and Core JJ on your team for a best of five is always going to be promising. Just the amount of experience and leadership and composure that those guys are going to have with, generally speaking, pretty good play. It obviously does bode well for any team to have those two guys on that team in a best of five. But at the end of the day, it still obviously comes down to which team can, generally speaking, win the most team fights, carry harder. And when I look at both of these teams, I'm definitely going to put my money on FlyQuest for that. I think it still comes down to APA and Yan not really being the kind of players you would really want to rely on to be the main threats on your team. I remember going into the season, I was really happy that Team Liquid kept APA and Yan around, because Team Liquid for a long time really was just kind of like, you know, bringing in, like, you know, your import players, European players, Korean players, whatever, spending a lot of money and just trying to buy their way to the top. So I really did admire and appreciate Steve keeping APA around, who had a decent enough Worlds, keeping Jan around, even though he was far from the best ADC in the league. He had some definitely rough moments and was struggling. But I was excited to see the prospects of them sticking around as well, continuing to see them grow and develop, and hopefully that they could become something better. And it really hasn't happened this year. I don't think that there really has been, like, some market improvement from either one of them. At the very best, I'd say maybe they're the slightest bit better, if you want to be generous to them. But they're basically about the same. And at this point now, with TL finishing 7-7, and with them, again, I'd have them losing to FlyQuest, at least right now in this first round, I don't know if they would change the roster around going into summer. I think it would be cool if they did, just because I really don't think that they have enough firepower to be able to really be a dangerous team, especially if they do somehow make it to Worlds in the first place. You know, they have to get there still, but I just don't really see a lot of firepower on this team to, like, really fear them in a series. And then you're walking into FlyQuest, who have definitely, you know, looked shaky. They got dominated by C9. TL were able to beat them on Friday. But I think overall, when it comes down to a best of series, it should be FlyQuest in a relatively convincing fashion. Like I said, we'll see if maybe Impact and Core can provide some stability. I'm kind of factoring that into the 3-1. But we'll see. Maybe TL can pull off a surprise. I'm not really counting on it, though. So now for Saturday, this will be the first match of the losers bracket. We have the 6th-seeded NRG. They will be facing off against the 2nd-seeded 100 Thieves. This one, I'm going to go 100 Thieves, 3-1. I've talked about NRG and 100 Thieves a little bit already. So again, I think 100 have played very well over the course of the season. And I think the individual skill level is definitely a lot closer when you look at it from person-to-person on NRG versus person-to-person on C9. I think with C9, even if the team cohesion isn't quite there yet, you can't really deny the individual skill level of those players. Fudge hasn't looked super dominant up there. He has especially had a couple of stinkers recently, but he's still decent enough. Blabber is still a really good jungler. Jojo Pyun's still a really good mid laner. Berserker has had a little bit of a down year, but I'm not going to really knock him on that too hard. I think that probably could be a big impact of one having a new support and then the team cohesion issues. I think overall, probably if it was to impact a player more on that team than anyone else, I would probably guess it would be Berserker, considering he has worked with Sven for so long. And I kind of mentioned that in my preview of C9 at the start of the LCS season. If there was going to be, you know, some kind of holes in this team's armor, it would probably be, like, if the bot lane transition from Sven to Vulcan doesn't go that well, maybe they do get off to a slow start. And I think it's fair to say that that has been a pretty decent contributor. Has been Berserker's not been doing as well. And I think Vulcan's been doing okay, but I do think that that value of Berserker and Sven being together is being missed in that case. Whereas if you look at NRG, we've always thought of them as that team of the sum of their parts would be better than the whole. And I think that's definitely showing up now, although the whole team still has taken a big drop off. The individual performances have fallen, as have their record and their team play overall, with Ignar being gone and Huhi coming in, and a lot of the coaching staff obviously not being there as it was last year with the 100 coaches that they had sticking around that team. So the individual skill gap should be a lot tighter here. And I do think 100 Thieves probably do look like the better team overall. I do think that their style is obviously very fun. It's a bit more early game, a bit more hectic, a lot more aggressive than NRG. NRG's a bit more scaly, looking for those team fights. I don't think 100 Thieves will let them try to get to that point of the game where they can feel really comfortable in that mid and late game setting up around for a pivotal team fight. I think 100 Thieves really does have that kind of aggression and pace to keep a team like NRG off their game, especially off of a lackluster season. So I'm going to give 100 Thieves 3-1 in that one. And then the final matchup on Sunday, Dignitas versus Team Liquid. This is an interesting one. I do think that this, technically speaking, should be the closest series out of all of these. I do think 100 Thieves versus C9 will be interesting, but I do have that going a 3-1 for C9. This one I have a 3-2, and I really wasn't sure who I wanted to give it to. I did end up settling on Team Liquid, but I don't have like a super good reason for it. It's kind of more of a vibes pick for me, to be honest. Like, I just don't trust Dignitas yet at all until I'll actually see them win a series. Kind of as I mentioned before, I'm still not a fan of some of the players. Like, I'm not still super really sold on Tomo. He's been fine. Dove, I do think, has been probably one of the more standout players on that team. But I can't trust Dignitas as an organization yet until I see them win that series. So I kind of was leaning TL most of the way. But like I said, I do think that this should be a close series. I think that with that kind of argument that I used before, where I really like the prospects of a team with Impact and CoreJJ being able to hold up in a best of five against FlyQuest, I think that it should really be able to translate here against Dignitas, where it is a very inexperienced team. Exu's basically a rookie jungler. Rich is, you know, only in his second year in the league. Tomo has been in Academy for a while, and he's only been breaking through recently this last year. Isles, I believe this is his first split full-time in the LCS. So a young team with not a ton of experience versus Impact and CoreJJ, and albeit, you know, again, not the biggest APA and Yan fans, just like I'm not the biggest, like, Tomo fan, but I'm going to give it to TL just kind of off of vibes more so than that. I trust Team Liquid more than I trust Dignitas, but this should be an interesting series. Like, I really do think it will be close. I just can't really give, like, a concise reason why I really would favor TL too much over Dignitas, other than I don't trust Dignitas at all. So there you have it for that hard-hitting analysis for Dig versus TL. I have TL winning it 3-2. So this would have been the end of the LCS part, but there was actually a quick piece of breaking news that happened as I'm recording this. Masu did extend his contract with FlyQuest for the upcoming 2025 season. So congrats to Masu. He definitely has been very promising for them this year, obviously. Has looked pretty good down there with Busio, and the entire team as a whole is functioning really well. They recently put out a YouTube video about his story. I think it's in like that Drive series that they've done before, featuring some pro players and talking about their upbringing and stuff like that, and their story, how they got involved in the league and all of that. So it's an interesting video. Definitely give it a watch. And congratulations to Masu on getting his contract extended for next season as well. So that will be it for the LCS portion of the Western Focus podcast today. I appreciate you guys listening. Again, don't forget, LCS playoffs start on Thursday with the best of five, 100 Thieves versus Cloud9. Thursday. See you guys there, hopefully. Hopefully we'll have some banger series coming up to talk about in next week's episode, as well as talking about the LEC, which it'll now be time for Cobalt to enlighten you guys about. So Cobalt, take it away.
Hey everybody, Cobalt here. Now you'll have to kind of bear with me. I'm sort of catching a throw I can't see since, you know, Steve and I are working separately this time around, so I'm not really sure how that handoff's looking or where I'm picking off at, but like I'm sure Steve covered, since we're, you know, on a weekly basis, we watch like around 23 games a week, I think is the number, because yeah, 15 plus 8. So it's kind of a big time commitment, and just because the LCS is now coming into the playoffs, that's starting up on Thursday rather than the usual Saturday, we need to work on a bit of a tighter schedule here. So we'll be sticking to our league's specialization, pumping out that content really fast for you guys to enjoy. And yeah, it's the LCS's turn to shine this week. Like I said, playoffs time. That segment will probably be a little bit longer this time around. Can't wait to hear Steve's thoughts on all that stuff. The LEC, on the other hand, here will be a little bit slower just because we started off the brand new spring split. The standings are pretty tight. Things are just starting off, so we'll be doing a very quick rundown on what's up so far just to make sure you stay up to date. So jumping right here into the standings so far, we have G2 sitting very comfortably at the top. They're the only team at 3-0 scoreline this week. They don't seem to be slowing down whatsoever. The one highlight there is we did see a fun mix-up where against Mad Lions Koi, they willingly gave them Smolder, and then G2 in response picked Kog'Maw into it. So, you know, not really a new thing. Hansama had that pocket Kog'Maw all year last year, but it seems they've been prepping specifically for Smolder with a lot of wins and scrims is kind of what the broadcast seemed to indicate. But otherwise, are we really shocked? G2 still kind of a mile above the rest of the league in macro, micro, all across the board, apart from their kind of fun time ints here and there or the occasional stupid decisions. In the bigger picture, realistically, G2's still on top. Then we move down into the second place cluster. So this is a four-way tie for second with a 2-1 scoreline. That's between SK, Team Heretics, Fnatic, and Vitality. Some highlights there is in the Heretics versus Fnatic game, we had Wonder getting absolutely abused early on. He was getting dove, he was getting ganked by more than one person multiple times. They secure a quick top lane turret, and then he tries to rotate bot for some easier farming, but he gets ganked there too, completely shut out of the game, it seems like. But then, for seemingly no reason, Fnatic sends two people to take Heretics' Gromp, and then Heretics collapse on that, Fnatic come to join in, and all of a sudden Team Heretics secures a huge gold swing by winning that fight, and then they don't really let off the gas pedal. They get the win in the end, and that kind of denies Fnatic a great 3-0 start, and also at the same time pulls Heretics right up there to be tied with them after what was a very shaky first game of the week. Then we have Vitality, who, in their game over BDS, they went absolutely crazy. I was fully expecting BDS to be the stronger team, but we had Photon in the top lane. He Omega stomped Adam's Olaf using a Rumble pick. He had absurd damage in team fights, came out of lane very much ahead. And then Hillisang, he's someone I've enjoyed laughing at in this past split, because this is the very first time this game I think he's had a super strong performance, similar to the Hillisang we used to see in years past, where, you know, normally Hilly likes to do his fun time inting, but in this game he somehow goes completely deathless, and of all champions that it could have been on, it was on Nautilus, a champ that's really in there, in your face, and probably comes away with a few deaths just to get his team set up for fights, but complete miracle work here from Hillisang. So shoutouts to them. They make that 2-1 scoreline, to my surprise. Then we move down to the sixth place cluster. So this is another four-way tie with a 1-2 scoreline this time around. And the teams occupying that are Giant X, Mad Lions Koi, BDS, and Carmine Corp. So highlights there on that last team, Carmine Corp. The result, it was kind of expected in my books, to be fair. I was expecting, just because of who they were up against, that they probably would go 1-2. But, you know, I have to give them credit just because they were able to stay competitive against both G2 and Fnatic, two behemoths in this league. Unfortunately for them, though, the inevitable mid-game shenanigans kind of rolled around for them. They started taking questionable fights or mis-executing things here and there, and they ended up getting swept by both teams in the end. So, yeah, unfortunate for them in those two games, but fortunately for them, they were able to take that one win off GX. I was expecting that kind of as they started to grow into a team, that they would be about 7th, 8th in the power rankings. I don't think they're quite a 10th place team, as much as I find it fun to see them down there. They should be in good enough position to secure playoffs in this spring split, is my expectation. And then the other surprise I've got down here is Giant X as well. I expected them to go 0-3 based on their schedule. The only team that I really consider them to be better than is Rogue down there. We'll get to that in a moment, but to their credit, despite the very, very weak early game they had against Mad Lions Koi, you know, the team that just came second here in the winter split, suddenly, out of nowhere, it seemed like, they started smashing a couple fights in a row. They very cleverly used number advantage windows, where they caught Mad Lions going on rotation where someone's either coming up from sideline farming or whatever it is. GX capitalizes on this. They have more people there immediately. They're able to take those fights with those number advantages. And then by the time those additional Mad Lions Koi members roll around, the fight's already pretty much won. They either collect a couple extra kills or the fight fizzles out, and then GX is able to reset and then do it again. So by the end of that game, through some very good team play and very good execution, they ended up with a stomp victory at the end, a full 8k gold lead over Mad Lions Koi, something that I was not expecting in the slightest, and that raises them up to that 1-2 score line and kind of puts them in a decent enough position to continue, and maybe if they show some improvement, you know, I'm not very high on them, maybe they'll start putting an argument to retain that playoff spot they earned themselves in the winter. And then, like I kind of alluded to, we have to talk about Rogue, which is last, and normally I would say not least, but this time they are certainly the least. Rogue is down here solo in the 10th position with a very, very depressing and disappointing 0-3 scoreline. And that's a very good jumping off point for me into my LVP, because it's all of Rogue. Except maybe Finn, he's kind of put up a decent enough argument for himself. You know, he's the fresh face to this Rogue kind of environment, if you will. He hasn't really been infected by that disease that we call Rogue just yet. He still showed some proactivity here and there, played decent in lane, so I will exempt him. But the other four members of this team, they just look completely soulless, completely broken, just like they did in winter. It doesn't seem like the break did anything really to fix up their approach to the game. They don't really know what they're doing, and yeah, just going down the list here. Zoalice in the support role, it seemed like he took the wrong page out of Mickey's not playbook, and he was randomly getting caught, randomly dying, giving over kills, and then like he's not really contributing to Rogue's efforts to win. Then when you took the Comp and Zoalice bot lane package, they were able to draft winning lanes all three of their games this weekend. And somehow, of those three lanes, they lost two of them. Something that really shouldn't be happening. Comp, in the past, has been a very good Kalista player, and he just wasn't able to bring it to the table this time around. Very sad there. Larson in the mid lane as well. Historically speaking, we know him to be a very stable laner. He doesn't really do anything too flashy, too explosive, but he usually builds pretty comfortable leads through that lane phase by taking good CS and then transitioning that to the occasional side lane player, whatever it is. He's usually able to scale up into that mid to late game and prove to be a factor, but this time around it just wasn't happening. He was randomly getting caught, randomly dying, and it didn't look good. But then coming up into the jungle role, Markkun, for me personally, is the saddest part of this team. In the past, he's debuted on Excel, came into the league as this young up-and-coming talent, and he showed right out of the gate that he had an aggressive and proactive early game playstyle. He then moved to SK the year after that, and he did a lot of the same stuff, but there was visible improvement. This was a guy I was pretty hype on at that point in time. He even had a very good performance against G2. There's a one game he played on Elise that very much sticks out in my mind. Huge early game plays, gets his team ahead. They don't let the other team come back into it after that. So someone that I used to be high on, like I said. But now that he's come to Rogue and he's had that winter split where he was kind of down, now he's in the spring and it's more of the same stuff, like I was saying, that Rogue could have used this kind of early game push, give them something to play around and start building these leads. As you know, Rogue's identity tends to be that mid game, sort of take it and run with it team. And after they lost Malrang, who started to fall off, this was a guy that really fit that bill. He should have been the guy to bring that play style and allow Rogue to succeed. But instead, he seems to be in the biggest slump of all time, where Rogue seemingly doesn't even have a jungler. You know, the lanes themselves aren't really doing all that great, but he's not contributing either. I don't know if he's farming all the time or what's going on, but the camera just doesn't seem to be on him very much. He doesn't seem to be doing anything great. And then in the late game, you know, Rogue's just falling apart. So this is just the undisputed worst team in the league all around. Really sad for Finn because he's kind of rotting away here, and I'm hoping that he doesn't get infected by this sort of lack of proactivity. But every single game from minute one, it just seems like Rogue has no win conditions, and their only goal is to postpone losing as much as possible. They just don't even look like they want to win. So kind of a pain to watch these games, to be honest with you. I know the casters are feeling it. We're feeling it as the fans. And we're going to have to keep talking about them suffering through this split. They're probably going to drop out before playoffs, and then my expectation would be that as we have MSI come through and that whole cycle goes around, this team will be making roster changes. It just doesn't seem like anything is clicking. They need a shakeup. They need some sort of new recipe, either in the coaching staff or in the players, to bring them out of this slump or whatever you want to call it. It's just sad to watch. But moving here onto a bit of a lighter note, we're going to transition into the MVP of the week. And probably to no one's surprise, it's got to be Caps. Just like last split, ironically, this is a time when Azir, which was his best champ in the winter split, he's been globally disabled, but Caps doesn't seem to mind. He's still making his presence felt every single game. He's won 3 MVP votes and has the only perfect scoreline here, since G2's the only team that won 3 games. And there's just really no sign of slowing down here. Against Mad Lions Koi, he brought out a fantastic Nico game. And then against K-Corp, his Nico was even better than that. He had 2 huge, absolutely filthy engages onto 4 members of KC in both those fights. First one was around G2's mid turret. That turned the tempo of the game around in G2's favor, since up to that point, KC was kind of in the lead, kind of at least stable enough that they might be able to show something. And then in the final fight of the game, once again, huge Nico ult onto 4 members just around KC's mid inhib, and then that starts off a wombo combo chain that blew up all 5 members of KC in just a matter of seconds, and that pretty much instantly ended the game. G2 wins, they finish with a 3-0 week, and Caps performed in all 3 of those games, so huge credit to him. And then I'm kind of cheating here by having a second one, but I also wanted to give a small shout out to Irrelevant. Caps, of course, is a huge presence, but Irrelevant very much deserves the same or at least similar kind of credit here. He's very quickly become one of my favorite players in the league. You'll know that I was hype on him last year. I was hype on him even before that as sort of this up-and-coming person, but now he's just continuing to make a case for himself that I just can't remember the last time he wasn't playing super, super well on an individual level. Huge credit to him. Either he comes into the mid-game ahead, comes out of that lane phase with a win, or the other team will identify him as a point of strength for SK. He'll get forced behind, but then once the mid-game to late-game rolls around, he's able to force himself back up, evens it out, and still turns out to be a presence. So it's just really good. And the one sort of highlight that I wanted to make about Irrelevant this week was that against Mad Lions Koi, he had to lane into Merwin's Twisted Fate top lane. So it's kind of nothing here is going in his favor. He has to deal with range, which as a Jace, it's not really the end of the world, but still kind of sucks as a top laner. He has to deal with the fact that Twisted Fate prints literally free gold through his passive. So by definition, he should, even if he's going even, he should be down on gold. And then he also has to die to 2 ganks from Elioia and Frescawi. Both of those ganks, 3 members of Mad Lions are on him. He dies, and by that point, you're kind of expecting that he's going to be kind of shut down. As a Jace, he needs to be a presence in the mid-game, but he really wasn't set up for that kind of success because of these ganks. He's 0-2, he's down, he should be out. But somehow, through very good CSing, putting up with that Twisted Fate, and eventually getting a little bit of help from his team, he walks out of the lane phase, taking the first turret of the game, and has an 800 gold lead. That TF passive if you remove that gold, he was probably like around the 1,000 gold threshold, like at least a little bit below or a little bit above that. So huge credit. I don't even know how he has pulled this off, but there just has to be an honorable mention here, and I'm going to continue to watch him with bated breath. I think that he's going to turn out to be a absolute force to be reckoned with. Now, before we round it off, we're going to take a look ahead at the upcoming matches. Something to look forward to as this upcoming weekend rolls around and these regular season games continue to progress. So, the league itself, in production, decided that Mad Lions Koi versus K-Corp should be marked as the match of the week. I think that's kind of fake. They both have, of course, their huge fan bases. It's this Spain versus France matchup. Very infamous in the league if you're following it. But that's fake. We're going to look at the real matches of the game. First one for me is going to be a very important one between SK and BDS. I'm still personally, of course, not off that SK hype train. I supported them as the second place power rankings team in the winter. Maybe second place is a bit of a stretch, of course, after we've seen them play for a split, but I still think that they should be strong enough to at least break into the top four this time around. That's kind of what I'm banking on. Meanwhile, BDS has had a very shaky first week of the split, so it could very much be due to strength of schedule. They had to go up against some pretty tough opponents, but they also didn't really look within those games like they were quite up to par in that winter form they had before. So this is a very much important test, at least in my opinion, to see whether SK can break into the top. They're sitting there at 2-1 right now. This will be a very important game to see if they stay up there. So very much looking forward to this one. And then the other one, kind of on the other half, is K-Corp versus Rogue. So I voted on this one in one of the weeks last split as my match of the week, spelled W-E-A-K. But this time, it does carry a bit of importance just because it'll be sort of that benchmark for whether my prediction comes true of whether or not KC can scrape into the playoffs this time around. Rogue, of course, being down there right at the bottom, KC should be stronger than them. They already proved that they're stronger than GX. Rogue should be easier than that. So if they can avoid doing what they did in the winter by stepping all over themselves, handing that game to Rogue in a gift basket, they then will be in a 2-2 position, and if they can take at least one more sneak win somewhere, pull off an upset since they should be around that 8th place range, that pretty much puts them in a comfortable position to secure that top 8, even though I expect very little from them in the playoffs. And then there's a list of games that I don't really have too much to say about, but I'm excited for them for no other reason than hype. And this is my kind of personal investment. Whether you're with me or not, that's up to you. First, we got G2 versus Team Heretics. You know, we've got the G2 versus G3 memes. Perks isn't quite around anymore, but still three members of Team Heretics going strong that are former G2. Then we have G2 versus Fnatic as the last game of Sunday. That'll be the El Clasico. It always hits. We know it's going to be a banger. And then finally, we have Team Heretics versus SK. So similar to what I was mentioning earlier, this is a very important game to break up the standings some more. Both of these teams are pretty similar in power level, I would expect. Heretics seem to kind of be on the up and up after they petered off with Perks. Now with Zvyru kind of coming in and showing some good things, as he maybe levels up, he'll be able to show more here against SK. Versus, on the other hand, SK will need to take this win to again solidify themselves as one of those teams I have in the top four of my power rankings. So, plenty here to look forward to, but that'll be it for this week. A bit of a shorter segment. We don't have Steve filling in here. We unfortunately don't get his opinions, but again, operating on a tight schedule here, so hopefully we'll have him back for next week. We'll see how that goes. Always love to talk to him. But to round off this episode, we had both the LCS and the LEC. Big things to look forward to in those playoffs. Be sure to tune in here on Thursday. Last week, I had to remind you about Friday for Super Week. This time, tune in on Thursday for the LCS games. Don't miss those. But a big thank you goes out to all of you for sticking around till the end, continuing to support us here on Western Focus. You know the drill by now. Drop a follow if you haven't already here on Spotify. Don't want to miss the upcoming episodes. We'll continue covering as the LEC progresses through the regular season and the LCS has their playoffs beginning. And if you enjoyed, a 5-star rating would be very much appreciated and go a long way here in supporting us. Tell the rest of the people around that this is a podcast worth listening to. And also drop a follow on Twitter. That's at @norival_esports. You'll see our other esports related content. You'll have a chance there to interact with us if you so wish. Kind of give your own takes. Maybe we'll feature some of those if we get them. And then we'll be coming up next week as the LCS has their playoffs. Don't miss out. Stay tuned. See you then.